Monday night, as Don and I were about to watch Phantom of the Opera, starring Burt Lancaster and Charles Dance, on the DVD that we have, a pastor friend from Ohio, Reverend Larry Emery, called. And after a few minutes of chit-chat, he said, "Before you go to bed tonight, you should read Psalm chapter 91. Well, we did it right then, and I'm glad we did. It's a very encouraging passage of Scripture, especially verses 3 and 10. And so I'd like to begin this evening by reading from Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the many blessings that You send our way. And Lord, I just ask now that You'd have Your hand upon our country, upon our state, upon our fellowship of believers, upon the Covenant Baptist Church, upon the families that are listening here tonight. Lord, we thank You for each one, but we ask Your blessings be done. Lord, we pray now that Your will would be done here at this time in point of history. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Would you please turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and the title of our thoughts tonight are under "And spared not the old world," which you'll see in our reading from 2 Peter. We'll also be going to Genesis chapter 6 shortly. But as we begin reading 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and Peter writes, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Notice he says the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In our society today, we find there are those who, because of their humanistic beliefs, talk about the truth and speak against it as evil things. Verse 3, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Noah, preacher of righteousness. May I say this? He was to preach for 120 years that a flood was coming. And unfortunately, when he went on the ark, he only took his wife, his three sons, and their three daughters. Or their wives, I should say. You know, it's interesting, none of Noah's siblings went on the ark with them. His three daughter-in-laws would go on the ark, but their families didn't go. It was a sad time as they went on the ark and nobody came with them. But often when a preacher preaches righteousness, people do not want to repent. And that's hard for people to do. But the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. If you would, the book of Genesis chapter 6, well-known area of scripture. Genesis chapter 6, and we'll begin reading at verse 5. And it says in verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Verse 5 says, "And God saw." In a moment, I'm going to read to you from the book of Psalms, chapter 139. God. A lot of times people have an issue about God. They want a loving God, but they're not too wild about a holy God or a just God. A God that demands righteousness. But in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, and we have just read, "And God saw," and in Psalm 139, verse 7, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in thy mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." God. The Westminster Short Catechism says, "God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth." God. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth." If God saw the wickedness of man before the flood, what do you think he thinks about the wickedness of 2020? If you look up the word wickedness in the thesaurus, you'll find it means evil, iniquity, vice, corruption, immorality, viciousness. Our missionary to the Arctic Canada region writes, "We are praying that God uses this time to wake people up and to show them how short life can be on Earth. Unfortunately, there are many who are using this time to party and step even closer to an eternity separated from our Heavenly Father." Unquote. We take note of the second part of verse 5, where it says, "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Is it any wonder that the Lord regretted having made man? Because he realized, because of man's sin and because of the prophecy given to Adam and Eve, that one must come and die for the sins of the people. Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24a, "Him," that being Jesus Christ, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death." As we think of this week, and some call it Holy Week, but we think of this Friday as Good Friday, in which Christ died. Now, I personally believe Christ was crucified on a Thursday, but we find that we celebrate it on Friday, and he was crucified, and on Sunday he rose again from the dead. We notice again in Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created." He has created us. We are his creations. And he was frustrated with it. Now, maybe you have made something in the past, and when you got done with it, it wasn't what you hoped it to be. Or maybe it worked for a while, and then at a later date, you said, "Man, I don't want this." And you threw it away. Boy, even if you'd spent good money on it. Verse 8 says, now let's read verse 8. It's very important. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." He found grace. Ephesians 2:5 says, "By grace are ye saved." Grace is a precious commodity. In both Hebrew and Greek, grace means favor or love, and implies a divine gift to man, not humanly earned, but rather essentially characteristic of its source. And our Lord is the source of the grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Our salvation is not through our accomplishments, but only through the work done by our Lord Jesus Christ. It was by grace that Abraham's servant found Rebekah to be Isaac's wife. It was grace that brought the Midianite merchantmen who were passing, and Joseph's brother sold him into slavery. It was grace that allowed Joseph to interpret Noah's dream so that he could save his father Jacob and his family. It was by grace that Balaam's donkey took action to save his life. It was by grace that Ruth stopped at the field of Boaz to glean grain. It was by grace that Naaman's wife's maid mentioned the prophet in Samaria. It was grace that kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from burning in the fiery furnace. It was God's grace that kept Daniel from being torn apart in the lion's den. It was grace that the Lord warned Noah of a coming flood. It is by the grace of God that we can be saved from hellfire and live eternally with him in heaven. Again, in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." What a testimony. Only Enoch had such a testimony in the antediluvian world. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" May I say this, when we commune, or which shall we say, do you commune in prayer and Bible reading and singing of songs with the Lord on a daily basis? Or is he just someone you go to in a case of emergency? He ought to be one that you want to be with regularly throughout the day. And so again, I ask the question, do you commune with him daily in prayer, in Bible reading, singing of songs? When we got the new songbooks for the smaller auditorium, the one song I wanted to make sure that was in the new books was "In the Garden" by C. Austin Miles. The first verse goes, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." Noah walked with God. Verses 11 and 12. "And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." In verse 5, we have wickedness. In verse 11, we have violence. In verse 12, we have corruption. This is displeasing to our God, a God of love and a God of compassion. And here man is vile and vulgar. He's wicked. One is written, the pre-flood world was not a pleasant place to live. Some commentators write that the problem began when the godly line of Seth mixed with the godless line of Cain. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 of Genesis chapter 6. "And it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. 120 years Noah was built, told to preach as he built the ark. Let's read verses 13 and 14. "And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Make thee an ark. The Lord would give Noah the plans. It would be 450 foot long. It'd be 75 foot wide. It would be 45 foot high. There would be one window and one door. Maybe you've been to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. Answers in Genesis has put it there, and it's an amazing thing. If you go, and Don and I have been there twice, sit on the right side of the bus on the ride from the parking lot to the Ark site. Now, remember that if you're on the bus, you want to be on the right side. May I say this? When you come around the last bend and you see the ark for the first time, it is overwhelming. It brought tears to my eyes. And believe it or not, it still brings tears when I ponder it. It was built for more than 8 people. And there was plenty of room for the animals that he would take on. 120 years in the building. Let's read verse 22, if you would, please. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." He was obedient. You know, we need to be obedient to the words of the Lord. If we're going to have peace of mind in our world, we must be obedient to the God who created the world. Now we come to verse 1 of chapter 7. Verse 1 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. It goes on to talk about the animals that would come on. But come, thou and thy house. In verses 16 through 19, we find these thoughts. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. And the Lord shut him in. We find in reading the scriptures, and we unfortunately don't have the time to do all of that this tonight, but you may want to read from chapter 7, that the Lord had Noah and his family come unto the ark, and then there were 7 days of grace given to the people. Now, I can only imagine, and you can see it in your mind's eye, as Noah and the family go onto the ark. And there were people that probably began to laugh at them and mock them and said, well, where's this water you've talked about? Where's this rain? For it had never rained. I imagine there were those who began to gamble and say, how long do you think they'll be on there before they come off? But then the door shut. And the rains began to fall. And the Bible tells us that the deep broke forth and the waters came up from below. It must have been very hard for those in the ark. For Noah, his siblings were outside the ark. For Mrs. Noah, for Ham, Shem, and Japheth, for their wives, family members who would die. Because they would not come on the ark. See, the Lord has brought judgment upon this earth over and over again because of sinful behavior. Some would like to tell us that that is why we have the coronavirus today, is that God is once again judging the world because of sinful behavior. I don't know if that's the way it is. God can use different things for his honor. But he does send judgment because of sin. Would you take your Bibles, and in conclusion, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read one verse about Noah in the Hall of Fame chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. And it says this, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you have faith in one who has died so that you can be forgiven of your sins? Faith. The Bible tells us by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, as I've already mentioned, it had never rained. The Bible tells us that the dew came up and watered the ground. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. May I say this, that the only thing a mother and dad can take to heaven is their children, their grandchildren. Moved with fear, by which he condemned the world. May I say this, that those who worship the Lord Jesus Christ by their actions make others feel guilty. they feel guilty because they are not living a right and proper life. And he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We had read in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He delivered a way of escape. He provided a way so that Noah and his family were saved. In conclusion, and I've already mentioned we were in conclusion, but James chapter 4, and this is the real conclusion. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We hope the words tonight could have been encouragement to you to realize that God has provided a way of salvation for us. The ark is a picture, shall we say, of salvation, and those who came through the door were saved, and those who did not were lost. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the thoughts we have concerning Noah, a righteous man, a just man, even in a sinful society, he remained faithful to you. May we, Lord, remain faithful to you also. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.